chapter of Numbers 14, and we're going to look at Numbers 13 and 14, then we'll get to Joshua 14 later on. So Numbers 13, 23 through 33, and then we'll look at Numbers 14, a couple of verses there. Before we get started, I would like to have prayer for Norma Sharp. She's got pneumonia again. This is the second time in a month and a half or 2 months. It takes her a while to get over this pneumonia. The last time it turned into bronchitis. So let's go to the Lord and pray for Norma. Almighty Father, Lord, we lift up Miss Norma to you. Pray, Lord, that you would touch her body, heal her. We miss her, Father, when she's not here, but she's just one of our spiritual giants, Lord, and we rely on her and seek her wisdom. So we pray, Father, for her healing, Father, perfect healing. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Alex, I'm humming a bit. Numbers chapter 13, starting at verse 23. Bible says, then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch of one cluster of grapes. This is where the 12 spies went out to spy the promised land. And they carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all of the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, which were the giants. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it were men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak come from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we are in their sight. Let's read a few more verses in Numbers 14. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the land delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. So I want to talk to you about this man, Caleb. The title of this message is Caleb, choosing between faith and sight. I think all of us have to make that choice from time to time. But a started out, who is this man Caleb? Was he a man of faith, or was he a man of sight, human reasoning, looking at things and saying, we can't do that? Did he trust God, or did he trust man, including his own self? When he saw obstacles, did he break down or overcome those obstacles? What makes Caleb different than any other person, any of the other 10 that said, we can't do it? So we're going to look at Caleb, and I hope that you're encouraged by this. As I read the scripture, she broke my heart again. You got 12 guys going out doing the Lord's work, and 10 of them come back saying, we can't do it. So we're going to look at Caleb and get some examples of how he is a man of faith and not of sight. So I want to start out, we didn't read it, but I want to start out with chapter 14, verse 24, as we answer the question, who is this man Caleb? So Numbers 14, verse 24 says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, has followed me fully. I will bring him to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Someone wrote this about verse 24, a man of God who is a resource that others ignore. Caleb had a resource, and that was God. He had faith in God to believe what God had told him before. Others had the same resource, but chose to reject using their faith in God. As we think about Caleb, I want you to think about the resource of God that's available to us. I'm not going to go into too much about that, but you know how strong and powerful God is. I look around and I see people that he's actually touched and made a difference in your life. So you would be a person of faith and not rely on sight. You've seen what God can do. 12 spies went into the promised land. 10 came back and said, we saw giants. So if we'll go back to Numbers 13 and read 32 and 33, we'll hear what they had to say about these giants. So Numbers 13, verse 32, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants. We were like grasshoppers compared to these giants. Now realize who is speaking through about Caleb in chapter 14 and verse 24. The Lord says that Caleb is a man of God that wholly follows the Lord. There's a different spirit in Caleb. That spirit we know to be the Holy Spirit, but also we know that it's available to all those that were called to do God's work, his purpose. 10 of them chose to reject. So think about Caleb for a second. He was with those 10 other guys, also with Joshua, and Joshua and Caleb came back and they were excited about what they saw. They were trusting God, and then these 10 others were not too excited about what they saw. They liked the land of milk and honey. They liked those big old clusters of grapes that they brought back, and the pomegranates and all the grape fruit and the stuff, the resources that this land had. But they were scared of the giants. My thinking is that Joshua chose to be a man of faith. He could have been just as well been one of the 10, but he chose to follow God. He chose to trust God. He chose to give his life to God. All 12 saw giants, but Joshua and Caleb saw God instead of the giants. So when we face things today and we see giants that we can't overcome, what do we see? Do we see the giant or do we see God? Caleb used God's resources to reject the giants. He made the right choices and he relied on God, and then God enabled Caleb to receive his rewards, his inheritance, the promised land. Numbers 14, chapter 24, verse 15 also says that his descendants received his rewards as well. So, boy, I had to put my Bible down. I had to put my papers down and my studies down and just realize what was just said. Our choices affect our descendants, and our blessings affect our descendants. Man, that just shot an arrow through my heart, realizing that the choices that I make and God blesses me with, my children can receive some of those blessings. What if I chose to be like one of the ten and reject God and to see the giants? And I just don't want to go to the promised land, Lord. I saw those giants. I saw the stuff in front of them, the things that we face today. How does that affect my own kids? How does that affect you guys when I make a decision? And I guarantee you, my decisions affect you many times. Has God ever asked you to do something that's bigger than you can do? And maybe God's called you to do something that you know that's going to require faith on your part. It's so big, you know, I cannot do it, God. But then realize that when you do something that God tells you to do, knowing that you can't do it, that there's going to be blessings involved for you when you are obedient to God. Is that not a good thought? I don't know about you, but God asked me to think about tomorrow. That's almost past me. It requires a lot. Ron, you're shaking. You know what exactly what I'm talking about. But if we're obedient, we'll think about tomorrow if God tells us to, and God will bless us. So let's keep on going. Caleb was a man of faith because he had a different spirit in his heart. But he was also an overcomer. Numbers 13:33. They saw the giants, the descendants of Anak come from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. When those ten saw the giants and reported back and said they saw the giants, Caleb saw the same giants, but instead of seeing the giants, he saw God. When they saw men that were stronger than them, Caleb saw a God that could defeat those enemies. When they saw other foes, God, through Caleb, saw the fruit. When they saw the fortified walls of those larger cities, Caleb saw a God that could go like this and those walls would crumble. Caleb was a man strengthened by God. He overcame the nation that they were, the notion that they were like grasshoppers compared to the giants. In fact, he overcame the giants because the giants were like grasshoppers compared to God. But did you hear what I just said? The things that we face today, whether it be the COVID-19, whether it be finances, whether it be family issues, whether it just be whatever affects us and overwhelms us, those are like grasshoppers compared to God. My God can do all things. He can straighten out all things. We need to understand how Caleb is looking at those giants. He is not scared of the giants. He's totally relying on God to take care of those giants. I did not read in Scripture as I studied this where God ever told those 12 giants to handle the giants, to destroy the giants. God will take care of that. God asked them to go spy out the land. And they did that. And some of them saw those giants. There was something else that Caleb overcame. Again, when I read this, and we haven't read it yet, but he overcame age. The Bible says when he was claiming his promised land that he started out when he was 40 years old, and 45 years later, he's reminding God that God promised me this land. He's 85 years old, and he stands up and says, I'm as strong now as I was when I was 40 years old. How did he do that? It was God. God allowed him to be strong. I don't think a single one of us could say that today, that 45 years later we were as strong. But let me read to you a story that if you listen to it, it'll affect your heart. I read this story, and it's about overcoming age. And it starts out, too many churches put aside their seniors, thinking that their ministry days are over. Our bodies fail on us. Our vision blurs. Our thoughts get confused. Anybody relate yet with me? And our friends and peers are dying. Life seems to be pretty much over. But nothing could be further from the truth. The great evangelist George Whitefield, who was a giant, was relating the difficulties of the gospel ministry to some of his friends. He said that he was weary of the burdens and was glad that his work would soon be over and that he would depart this earth a saint to be with Christ. How many of us have ever said something like, "Boy, I'm ready to go home to be with the Lord right now"? Just kind of forget all this mess going on this earth. The others that he was around admitted the same feelings. They were ready to go home to be with Christ, give up what they were doing now. All except one, Mr. Tennant. Man, I dreamed about Mr. Tennant last night. He said this. Whitefield tapped him on the knees and said, "Well, Brother Tennant, you're the oldest among us. Do you not rejoice to think that your time is near at hand when you will be called home?" The old man answered bluntly that he had no wish about it. He didn't think about it. Then he stopped. He wasn't going to go any further with his conversation. Whitefield pressed him for something more definite. So Tennant added, "I have nothing to do with death. My business is to live as long as I can and as well as I can and serve my Savior as faithfully as I can until he thinks it's time to call me home." Whitefield accepted that word, as a gentle rebuke from the Lord, and it helped him go on with his work calmly and patiently for many years after. Things get bad sometimes, really bad here lately, and I've been guilty of it. Boy, I'm ready to go home right now. There's purpose still available for those who will give their life to God and do what he wants us to do. It's a struggle down here, isn't it? But God promises we're going to struggle.
Amen.
It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be great all the time. People are going to kill us, in fact, sometimes for sharing the Word of God. God knows that. Well, let's keep on looking at Joshua in chapter 14. There's several verses in here I want to share with you. I want to look at Joshua 14, and then we're going to look at verse 8, 9, and 14. So Joshua 14, verse 8, 9, and 14. Just a couple books over, Joshua chapter 14, verse 8, 9, and 14. "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made me the heart of the people melt." Caleb says, "I wholly followed the Lord my God." Verse 9, "So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trod shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.'" And then verse 14, "Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Kenzanite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord his God." Did you hear that three times? Caleb was a man of faith because he wholly followed the Lord. The key to Caleb's success was that God had all there was of Caleb. He lived to be 45 years later to receive his inheritance because God his all. He gave every inch, every ounce, every nerve, every fiber of Caleb belonged to God. I'm going to repeat that because it's so important. Every inch of the body every ounce of his body, every nerve of his body, every fiber of Caleb belonged to God. I read this, that a man who kneels before God can stand before anybody and anything, including giants. So when we give our everything to God, our whole being, our every fiber of our being, we commit our lives, surrender our lives to God, and affects all other relationships and all other purposes in our life. And you talk about a humbling study. I studied Caleb. Not too many of us can say God has every fiber for my being, can we? Every ounce, everything I think, everything I do belongs to God. I don't want to make a saint of Caleb. Boy, he was pretty close. God can tell you three times just a couple of verses, he wholly followed God. That's pretty amazing to me. I want to remind us of something in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We think about Caleb. Keep your finger at Joshua 14. We'll go back to there. But I just need to remind you of something that God reminded me of. As we think about wholly following God with everything that we are and have, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not of your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So I want to remind you of these two verses, and I wrote them down, the thoughts that I want to share with you. They're straight out of the Bible. First of all, you are God's temple.
Amen.
The Bible doesn't say you are God's temple and your temple. Bible says you are God's temple. Then he says the Holy Spirit indwells in you. He lives in you. He abides in you. He makes his living in you. I mean, you can't separate you from the Holy Spirit. And then the Bible says you are not of your own. So Caleb followed the Lord wholly with every ounce of being, everything about him, he followed the Lord. When we're told that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit and they're of God, and you're not your own, well, guess what? You're God's. The Bible says you're bought with a price. We know what that price was. That was the blood of Christ. You are to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Rod, we were talking about salt. And Ron was telling us that he used to eat rock salt. Anybody remember what rock salt is? About as big as your finger down there, make ice cream. That's a lot of remember. We did throw it on our concrete until it ate up the concrete. That's how strong that stuff is. But it's very salty, especially a big chunk of it. You plop it in your mouth, and what's it do to you? It makes you thirsty. Well, when you're walking and you're giving your life to the Lord and you're committing to the Lord, you're supposed to be salt of the world. So if that salt makes you thirsty, don't you think that you as salt ought to make Christians and other non-Christians thirsty for what you have? That's a good thought, Rod. I'm giving you credit for thinking for me. Thank you. We're to glorify God in our body and our spirit. Make others thirsty. Make them want what we want. Make them want to see our church say, I want to belong to that church. I like what they're doing. They're making me thirsty for the Word of God. I pray every single day for certain people that God would give them a thirst for the Word of God, because I know that they're not reading. I know they're not studying. And when I find that out, I pray for you every single day that God give them a thirst. And that's what we ought to be doing as the temple of the Holy Spirit, making people thirsty for what we have. Another thing that Paul adds, just for emphasis, as he tells us we're holy temples, is that we are God's. we belong to God.
Amen.
Our temple belongs to God. Caleb knew that he belonged to God, and he chose to wholly follow God in everything that he did. And there's some good news about this as well. Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, the Bible says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." This is Caleb talking to Moses and the Lord, or to Joshua and the Lord, "in which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard it in that day, how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified, that it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." He's remembering back when God, Moses promised this, and Joshua promised, and through all God, he's delivering all this promised land to everybody, he's divvying it up to everybody. So he wholly followed God. As he's asking for what God had already promised him, he remembered what the Lord had said, and he claimed it. Caleb trusted that God would be with him and help him in the job of driving out those giants. Caleb was able to boldly come to the throne of God and say, "Give me this mountain, Lord. You promised it to me. I've done everything I can. I've followed you as good as I can. I've given you every ounce of my body, every fiber of my being. So I'm claiming the promise of my inheritance." And again, remember that his inheritance also blessed his descendants. He just claiming what God had promised him because he had done what God had asked him to do. Another thing that helped Caleb be a man of faith was in verses 10 and 11 of Joshua 14. Verse 10 starts out, "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I'm as strong this day as the day Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so is my strength now for war, for going out and for coming in." Just as strong as he was back when he was a young man. I wrote this down about Caleb because of this. Caleb was a kept man of God. God kept him. God kept him, and Caleb was controlled by God. He was kept and strengthened by God. He was kept and committed and surrendered to God because God kept him. Caleb allowed the Spirit to work in him. Caleb chose to follow the Lord God in all that he did. And finally, Caleb was rewarded for his faithfulness in verse 13. "And Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron to Caleb the son of Jephunneh as an inheritance." Isn't that great to know that because God said it, Caleb claimed it, and he received his inheritance? I did not come up with a conclusion to this. I tried and tried and tried and just did. Ron, you got any conclusion that I can add to this? No, never mind. Okay, but the conclusion is this. When God puts something in front of us, don't you think we ought to fully commit to God and do things His way? Maybe Satan puts things in front of us. Maybe he puts those giants in front of us. Don't you think we ought to claim God instead of getting scared? I don't think there's any of us who would see giants instead of God. But if you are thinking, "Well, I do see the giants," one day you're going to face the giants and you're going to face God at the same time. You're going to make a choice to either see God or see those giants. Again, I can look throughout the whole congregation here and see some of them face the giants and God, and you chose God. And you're sitting here today because you chose God. We call them miracles. God just calls them that. He just touches and you're taken care of. It doesn't have to be health. It can be whatever we're going through. You have family issues, same thing. You can either see the giant or you can see God. seems like finances throws all of us for a loop. If you wholly follow God and give your life to God, the finances become grasshoppers. God becomes the giant in your life. You got to know God first to trust Him. You got to know who Jesus is. You got to know that you've been bought by Christ, and that's the blood of Christ. Today I'm going to offer you an invitation that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please don't leave without coming to see me and say, "Brother Jerry, I want Jesus in my heart. I want Jesus in my life." It's real easy. Lord, forgive me for my sins and come into my life. And boy, that fast, when you're serious about it, He'll come into life. He'll change you. Tony, you found that out, didn't you? He doesn't mess around when He does it. He just comes in. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray, and then we'll be down here. If you need to come pray with me, I'll pray with you. Lord Almighty, I pray, Lord, that today you'd help us see God and not giants. There's things of our future, Lord, that look like giants. Lord, God, help us to see an Almighty God that can take care of those giants every single time, whatever it is. I ask your blessings on us now, Father, during this time of invitation, that if there's something going on in our life, in our heart, that seems like it is a giant to us and we can't overcome it, God, today I pray that we would surrender that giant to you. Allow you, Father, to destroy that giant in our life. I thank you for Caleb. I feel like, Father, I'm receiving blessings because he received his. Pray, Lord, for each one of us, that this word would pierce our hearts. God, help us to realize who you are. You are God, our Creator, our Lord, our Savior. Again, Father, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you. Lord, I pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. If you need to make